Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, the second chapter, the sixth Mishnah. Hamakadesh te nashim de shave fruta. If a person who betroths two different women with just one coin, with one fruta, or isha achas befachos mishave fruta, or if a person betroths one lady with an item, with money, or with shavik dushin, with an item worth less than a pruta, to one lady. So again, he's makadesh either two women with something worth one pruta, or he's makadesh a lady with something which is worth less than a pruta. Af al pi sheshalach sivlono slachar mikan. Even though later on he sends gifts to his kala afterwards, eina mekudeshes. She would not be betrothed. She would not be engaged to him. We don't argue and say, you know, there's this suspended kiddushin of less than a pruta which is out there. We know woman needs to accept something worth a kiddushin. We learned that back in the first mission of the first parak. And therefore, when the moment she received these gifts, it's not like a tag team when the two combine to affect kiddushin. Rather, what do we say? She had no idea about this gift happening later on. We thought, and she thought, by accepting the gift, potentially she would be mekudeshes. There wasn't sufficient amount of money valued in the item. There's absolutely no kiddushin. The gifts that are being sent later on cannot be added to the half of a pruta which he originally tried to betroth her with. Generally speaking, in the time, those days, after you'd send gifts, you'd send these sivlonos to your kala, to your arusa, to your future wife, as a present, and he was innocently thinking that he needed to send his kala these gifts, but really, he was unaware of the mistake. There was absolutely no kiddushin whatsoever. Einam and Kadeshas, neither of these two ladies who received an item worth a pruta, nor this other lady who received an item which was worth less than a pruta. The Mishnah says, Shemachmas kiddushin harishonim shalach. What is the reason why he sent these gifts? As we explained, he sent them because he had thought erroneously that his original kiddushin was actually valid. Since it wasn't with a pruta, it can't be split into two. It can't come a little bit later. There's einam mekudeshes, and they're not engaged. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, V'chein katan shekidesh. And similarly, a minor, a person who's under the age of bar mitzvah, even midrabanan in fact, is mekadesh and isha, while he was a katan, so he gives a katan, a minor, gives a shavapruta to a lady, and then once he turns bar mitzvah, once he turns into an adult, he then sends her gifts, he sends her these sivlanos. We don't say the first kiddushin had no validity, and therefore he sent, shall we say, these presents to really make the kiddushin valid. We don't really say that at all. Instead, we just explain, we understand this scenario to mean that he made a total mistake. He thought the first kiddushin was valid when he was a katan, and these presents which he sent later were just a regular gift that he thought he was giving to his kala, to his arusa. We do not explain it that way. We understand the scenario that this kiddushin has absolutely no effect whatsoever. It's not even a suffix kiddushin. There is no kiddushin. She is totally single. And even though there were gifts that were sent to her, sent to her by someone who was over bar mitzvah, nonetheless, the kiddushin is not chal. And there's not even a suffix kiddushin. And she is still single.
Second Perek, the seventh Mishnah, begins as follows. Mekadesh Isha Uvita, person who betrothed both a woman and her daughter, or Isha Vachusa Kechas, or if a man betroths a woman and her sister at the exact same moment, together, Eina Mekudeshes. Neither one of these two cases would there be an effective Kiddushin. And the reason is as follows. If a person tries to mekadesh a woman who is usur to him because of an arayos, because of an incestual relationship, and in fact the punishment of such a relationship would be kares. Such a situation, the kiddushin is not valid. And therefore, since he proposed in both of these scenarios to a woman whose kiddushin would be partially kares, for example, a person cannot marry a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her sister, you can't marry two sisters. Therefore, it invalidates even the, shall we say, kosher or appropriate relationship. And therefore, in both of these cases, either women are considered still single, and they can be betrothed to someone else. The Mishnah continues with somewhat of a complicated case. U'maisa v'chamesh nashim. Situation of five women. U'vehem shtei achayos. Among these five women, you have two sisters. The likeit echad kalkala shel te'enim. And one of them, one of these ladies, has a basket filled with te'enim, a basket filled with figs. V'shelhen hayesa. This basket filled with figs belonged to one of them. V'shelhen hayesa. And the produce, these figs, were from the sabbatical year, their shvi'is. Ramah, this gentleman says, Hare kulchem kudashos liba kokalazo. All of you, all five of these women, are betrothed to me with this basket of figs. Kibla achas mehen al yedei chulon. And one of the five women accepts it on behalf of the other four. Amru chachamim in achayas mekudashos. The sages tell us that the sisters are not betrothed, but the other three are. This measure requires a little bit of an explanation. Originally, we had explained that if a person offers a kiddushin to people, to two women, and one of them, this relationship is also as part of the arayos, such a situation, the whole system falls apart. He's not engaged to either one of them. The resha, the beginning of our mission, an isha ubita or a chosa, and also an isha. Two sisters, or a mother and a daughter. So how come in this situation, Mishnah seems to imply that a person betroths five women at the exact same moment, and there's five te'enim, or there's a pruta worth for each one of these five women, how come in such a case, the two sisters are not betrothed? The other three would be betrothed to this gentleman. Shouldn't the entire situation nullify? In fact, all five of these women should not be betrothed to him. The Gemara explains as follows. Step one, what do we say about this produce? Since it's shvi, since it's from the sabbatical year, therefore it really makes this produce ownerless. So by picking up this basket, what does this man do? He affects the possession for himself. He acquires this basket filled with figs. So that's important. They're not stolen. They didn't belong to someone else, but they were considered hefker since they were peros shvi's. It is also important to know that in this basket of figs, there was enough of pruta for each one of these women. So how is it possible that three of them are betrothed? What, three are not related. The other two are not betrothed, and the three women are. The Gemara says that what was the language that this gentleman used? He said the following. He actually stipulated very carefully that only whoever among you who can consummate a marriage be mekudeshes to me. He made that very specific declaration. And therefore, the three women would be engaged, betrothed, and the other two would not. However, if this gentleman actually would have said, you are all mekudeshes, may you all be betrothed to me, then all five women, as we explained from the outset, all five women would not be betrothed because he included these two sisters. And it is forbidden to marry two sisters. There actually is another opinion of the Gemara, which says that our Mishnah holds, like in Amora, whose position is not accepted, is not accepted lahalacha, and therefore the Mishnah should actually be understood as it is written, that in fact, what does this gentleman do? He just says, may you all be betrothed to me, and three would be, and the two are related, would not be. That is not the halakha. The halakha is that he made that declaration, that may those of you who can be betrothed to be Bimu Kadeshes, and therefore it's the three that can and two that can't.